Back to basics. Remember, from here on out for a while, every first Sunday we'll never have communion. Maybe we can even have a Southern Gospel Sunday. Did y'all enjoy that music today? Wasn't it awesome? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for praise. That was awesome. I felt like I was at a Gaither, singing. It was awesome. We have Southern Gospel with Southern Rock mixed together. Isn't that pretty cool?
Amen.
John 3:16. I use this verse more than any verse I've ever used in my life. I use this verse all the time. I use it at people's births. I use it at people's deaths. I use it when people are needing encouragement, when people are wanting to know how to be saved, and they're wanting to, how can I tell God loves me? And so here's right, this is it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, that was good. Y'all say that with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise God. Thank you, God, for your word. Y'all can be seated. A politician came up on some boys in a circle fighting over something in the middle. The politician didn't exactly know what was going on, so the politician went up and said, okay, boys, you know how the politicians are. Okay, boys, there's no need to fight. What's going on? What's happening? And he looks in between them, and there's this little bitty, scroungy, mangy dog. And he says, what's going on here? He said, Mr. Politician, we found this old mangy, scroungy dog out in the dump, and we brought it home, and we can't decide who's going to own this dog. So we decided that whoever can tell the biggest lie, we'll get this dog. And the politician said, ho, 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 you know God don't want you lying. And he started telling us some scriptures about lying, and he said, boys, I remember when I was just a little bitty thing going to church, and I remember the preacher telling me that it was a sin to lie. As a matter of fact, I know for quite some time now, I know I have not lied. And the boy stood and said, okay, you can go ahead and take your dog.
Amen.
You'll get it in a minute. All right, y'all be riding home and go, oh, okay, he told the biggest lie. All right, John 3:16. I can't remember, except for maybe Valentine's Day, years ago that I even preached on John 3:16, but when I started praying about getting back to basics, I thought about creation, doing Genesis 1:1, thought about all kinds of things, and I said, as the Lord started speaking to me, he says, when you go back to basics, you don't have to go in order. There's no specific order, just go back to basics. And so, on December 1st, there's no telling exactly what our back to basics will be. Maybe Bethlehem, maybe the birth of Jesus. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm playing this week by week. Amen. But here it is. This is our first one. Back to basics, salvation. If there's ever been a time we need to reclaim our roots, it's now. We have a strong sin problem in this world. That's why the world is going crazy. Amen. What happened in the last few months with the COVID and all this other stuff? Let me go further. I just show you this. Look, the world's in a mess. How many admit the world's in a mess?
Amen.
Not only is the world in a mess, our world, my world, your world is in a mess. Amen. We can talk about it collectively. Yeah, we got some mess going on. We can talk about it locally. We can talk about it all the way down to just you. We all have a mess going on. Now I listen good, and I hear, when I'm listening to people talk, I actually hear a whole lot of answers. A lot of answers. And usually their answer has got a vote for me tagged to it. Whoa. What I've discovered is, most of what I hear with the answers is nothing more than leading to the symptoms. Not the problem, to the symptoms. The problem actually started in a garden with Adam and Eve. That's where the problem started. The solution started in another garden called Gethsemane, where he said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass through, but nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. That's when he got himself fully committed to go and handle the problem, not the symptom, the problem of sin. He knew he's got to carry that cross if he's a sacrificial lamb. And so now, Romans, I like to think about this way. The book of Romans addresses this problem with a plan. And John addresses the answer with a promise. And so let's just go this way. How many of you ever heard of the Romans Road? Hopefully all of you have heard of the Romans Road. I'm going to get over here so I can see it because my eyeballs ain't as good as they used to be, praise God. They're good, but the vision part not so great. So y'all go ahead and do this with me. Okay, so step one. Romans 3 and 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not even good old Aunt Martha that sat on the third row in that big old righteous church. And when she started shouting, everybody started shouting. Not even her. Not even your favorite preacher you ever known at all times that did none wrong. Wrong. None. Righteous. No, not one. So, then, step two, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All? All. It's amazing to me that when somebody dies, if you love them when they die, the longer they've been dead, the less they did wrong, and they were perfect in the work. When you died, if y'all weren't getting long, the longer they're dead, the worse they are. It's called demonizing, and it's called angelizing or mystifying. You can't do that. The truth is, Everybody, point to everybody in here. Look here and say, you bunch of sinners. You wanted to do it all this time. I give you permission. Go ahead. All right. Step three. Hold on. I ain't through you. Don't think I'm leaving you as sinners. Not leaving you there. Step three. Romans 5 and 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, Adam, and death by sin, so death passed unto all men, and for that all have sinned. Step four, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a difference in wages and a gift. What is wages? Something you get when you're working. When you do a job, hopefully you get a paycheck. You get a paycheck, that's wages. But if I just walked up to you and handed you $1,000, number one, you'd think I was sick. Bumped my head. But number two, you would say, what's this for? I say, nothing. It's just I love you. You did nothing for it. Sin will work you to death as a taskmaster. It's hard. It'll beat you. It'll ride you hard. Usually, sin is fun. It says there's fun in sin for a season, but usually the end result of it is that, not usually, always the end result of it is death, but usually the end result of it too is a very, very bad conscience. Okay, if it don't bother you, then your conscience is on the verge of being seared, and you need to talk to God really, really strong. So then, Romans 5, 8, 9, for God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Look at here and say, now you got a remedy. Tell somebody, now you got a remedy. Tell them, you just called everybody sinners. Now go ahead and help them out. Yeah, now you got a remedy. Now you got a remedy, okay? For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With thy heart man believeth with righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Next to John 3:16. I will say five times a week, I use that scripture. It's a very powerful scripture. Especially if somebody's doubting their salvation. And here's the promise from this here, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So God tells us, that's what God does. A lot of us, we just want to shoot somebody, bring them down, leave them down, and keep beating them up every time trying to get back up. God's not that way. God says there is a sin problem in this world, But the answer is him. The answer is his son. And so he tells you how to get out of that pit. He doesn't just leave you there. He gets you out of that pit. So now, all we just read points to John 3:16. Everything we just read, John 3:16. Let's go ahead now. I want to get here. I promise you I won't keep you too long today. I want you to see this. John 3:16 is the most familiar passage of Scripture in the Bible, even beyond Psalm 23. John 3:16. You ask me all the time, what are some of the Bible stories, Bible scriptures that you know? And inevitably, John 3:16. And then also, of course, you end up walking through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23. So watch this. It's the first verse that's taught to kids. It's the first verse that's taught to new converts. It's whispered to loved ones on deathbeds. How many remember watching football and baseball and seeing that one guy in the crowd holding up John 3:16? Remember that back when we had sports on television that was, I mean, with real people in the stands versus cutouts? Yeah, real people yelling, yeah, instead of pushing the button. Yeah! Real stuff. And only somebody at the goal line, John 3:16. Because people wanted them to know that God, that's the most evangelizing verse there is. And it's done by more people than any other verse. So now, here we go. We're going to talk about this today. I want y'all to kind of get your fork out and get your spoon and go ahead and put your bib on, because this is going to be awesome. We're going to talk about John 3:16 like I've never talked about it before. This is something new. It's fresh. It's ready to go. God's got this. We're just going to talk about the verse. What does it really, really mean? What does John 3:16 mean? I'm glad you asked. Ready? Here we go. Watch this. This is so, so awesome. Here it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. So here we go. Let's stop right here for a minute. I'm going to sit down for just a second, maybe. Every time I say I'm going to sit down, I get back up. Amen. Yes. My favorite song when I was a little bitty boy was, I got ants in my pants and I need to dance. Mama says, son, I'm glad there's only one of you. Okay. She had four children. She said, if the rest of them were like you, I'd be in the same asylum. I said, no, you wouldn't, Mama. She said, yeah, okay. God. Y'all say God. God, the greatest lover. That word God there is theos. That word theos means God. It means the Godhead. It means godly counsel. It tells me that, again, you see in Revelation where it talks about that it was already decided before sin began in the world that they had a council, and they already decided that Jesus was going to die for our sin. So, for God, but it wasn't, look, this here, it's God the Father, right, the greatest lover, the greatest Father, but it's not just God the Father, it also includes God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, okay? For God, the greatest lover, only God has the capacity to love everyone, okay? He's the only one. He's the only one that has that capacity. He created us, he knows us intimately. Have you ever really liked somebody until you started, you know, you liked it from a distance, and when you started getting around it, you didn't like them so much anymore? I'm not talking about married either. I'm talking about people. Y'all can smile just a little bit. It's okay, I promise. That was my joke, not yours. So wives, look at your husband and say, that was his joke, not yours. Tell him. Husband, tell the same thing. All right. So again, he knows us more than anybody else, and he still loves us. For God so loved. That word is agapeo, a form of agape. It means to show affection by action. To show affection by action. You know, I hear people all the time say, well, I was praying for you. Really? I hadn't seen you in 6 months. I ain't seen you in a year. You're praying for me. I really appreciate it. But it would have been a whole lot better if you'd have called me and told me that. It's nicer to know that you're praying for me. It's nicer to know that you care. I'm not saying you don't, but if I don't hear it, a blessing is not spoken. A blessing with no action is not a blessing at all. You live your blessing by closing your mouth. Come on, y'all. Sometimes we live in our blessings by opening our mouth. I saw more hymns on that one than I did on the other. Amen. So love, the greatest degree. There is no love that exceeds the depth, the breadth, the height of his magnificent love. If you ever begin to wonder if he actually loves you and what he thinks about you, remember, he knows you and still sent his son in your place to die for you. Wow. That's amazing. So, he so loved the world. Now, here it is. This is the greatest audience. This word for world here is cosmos. Is cosmos, it means the ungodly and their affairs. Whoa! Woo! Well, there y'all are. I thought y'all had left. I see now y'all are here. Look. Cosmos means the world, the ungodly, and their affairs. Don't you think God's watching this election? And the Bible says that he picks them up and puts them down. So if he picks them up and puts them down, he knows what's going on. He's got this covered. And so no matter who comes out of this thing the victor, I'm going to trust God that he's got this. Amen? No matter who comes out the winner, I know God's got this. I can look at all that's happened in 2020 and see all the craziness that's happened all along the way. And I know still that God's got this. As a matter of fact, we're talking about Revelation. We're moving in to the end days. We are in the end days, excuse me. But we're moving into the tribulation. It's here. It's now. You can see it. You can feel it. But so again, here's the greatest audience, the world and their affairs. Only God knows everyone who has come into the world from the seed of Abraham. Only God knows all of them. Amen? And he's the creator. He's the one that can speak to everybody's heart. Amen? So, for God so loved the world. Now, let's move a little further on. There you go. For God so loved the world that he gave. Along the way, I hear a whole lot of people talking about I love you, but you don't. You just hear it. You just hear it. You know what? After a while, you just get callous to it. You know why? Because honestly, even if you mean it, it begins to sound like empty words. You say, I love you, but it don't show up. Okay? Then guess what? You take away the value because of, it can't be just verbally, it's got to be a verb. It's got to be an action word. And so when you say you love somebody, back it up with some type of action. Show them in some way, somehow, they really mean something to you. So here it is. So that he gave the greatest act, okay? When the Father sent the Son, the Lord Jesus to be a sacrifice for the sin of the whole world, let me tell you something. He willingly offered him. He initiated salvation, not us. He initiated salvation. I can tell you, once I saw D.C. Linton born, he's my first child. When I saw him born, there was no way in the world I could have given him up for anybody's sin. When I saw Daniel born, there's no way in the world I could have given him up for anybody's sin. When I went to Dr. Bethany, we went to the clerk of court, and the judge carried us back into chambers, and they put Bethany on their lap, and they talked about her. And talked to her and said, we got you a good family here. We believe this is going to work. We were her seventh family. And said, I believe this is it. God's done this. And took pictures and all kinds of stuff and signed the stuff. We had pictures. I don't even know where all those things are anymore, but I do know one thing. I could not have given her up for anybody's sin. The Lord even told me, or the judge told me, said, you know what? You can disown anybody but Bethany. Said, because she's closer to you legally than your own kin. I said, how in the world does that happen? He said, trust me, try. I said, I ain't trying. So, for God so loved the world that he gave the greatest act. Wow. And here it is. His only begotten Son. Wow. His only begotten Son, one of a kind. The greatest gift. I like to look at it this way. Bethlehem means God with us. Calvary means God for us. And Pentecost means God's in us. Wow. But it all came because Jesus was the sacrifice. It is good stuff. Alright. That whosoever, the greatest invitation. Okay. I'm going to ask a hard question right now. chance to be totally honest. Is there anybody in here you think so bad you really don't pray for God to disable them? Or you're thinking that God saved them, but God, I don't care if you save them or not, just get them out of here. They're too mean. If Charles Manson walked down here and Billy Graham, both of them walked down this hall, it'd be awesome. That'd be very awesome. Charles Manson and Billy Graham together, they're coming down this hallway. And I'd say, which one deserves grace? Which one shows grace? Which one is the one God's going to use? You say, Billy Graham, of course. What about Charles Manson? People following him, cut a woman up, took the baby out. People following him were killing people and cutting them, mutilating. Is he worth grace? Eternal life, the greatest possession. Why don't you know that the Savior lets you start your eternal life at the moment you accept Christ as your Savior. As soon as you accept Christ, you don't wait till you die. It starts right then. And let me just finish up with this. And then this was so awesome. This is so awesome. Okay. Let me read this, it's the Amplified Version. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, or be lost,
but have eternal, everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, reject, condemn, pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through Him. This was my initial sermon. I put it in one little spot right here, and I will read it at the end. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, there's love enough for us all. That He gave His only begotten Son, there's sacrifice enough for us all. That whosoever believeth in Him, invitation enough for us all, should not perish but have everlasting life. Life enough for us all. Without John 3:16, we will be lost forever. Everybody stand. Y'all guys come on up here. You guys come up here because ain't one thing up here that's not wet. Do you see my acoustic bass is in my office?
Might be on the drum.
Yeah. That's right. Y'all take care of business. I know y'all can handle it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Back to basics.